Charlie Lucci, college football analyst. Welcome inside the game in T-Town. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Doing great. Just sitting here at the airport looking at some little Alabama and Auburn video going on the wall here behind me.
Oh, wow.
I'm not even gone yet. I'm already ready to get back and eat some good food and watch some football this fall. So I'm excited about those two trips.
Well, absolutely, and you left SEC Media Days a couple of minutes ago. You were here watching Texas A&M. Let me just ask you, you've been here for 2 days. You can include Texas A&M in this. What's the take-home message after 2 days of SEC Media Days?
I think as far as A&M goes, I think the main thing, the takeaways were, hey, what is the landscape going to look like without Johnny Football? And is that defense going to be good enough to allow you to not take a step back this year? You know, I think that's what everybody's question is going to be after a season ago. I thought to Shazer Everett was real honest about it and said, you know, it's not going to be worse. And he seemed really encouraged and optimistic it's going to be better. I enjoyed listening to him today. He was brutally honest about what went on last year. And those are two main talking points, I thought, for A&M. For the entire SEC, I think I think a real big question this year in the SEC is which teams are going to, there's such a crowded group there, and I would almost, no one's going to do it. I would almost put Auburn in that group just because when I look at what they lost and I look at how thin their margin for error was, and they get all the credit in the world for an amazing season, you know, you could see them having the type of year A&M had where they actually went 1 year with zero injuries and they won a lot of close games and they were 11-2. The past year they suffered some injuries. They, you know, they lost a lot of close games because of that defense, and that record didn't look nearly as good at 8-4 or 9-4. So I think there's such a crowded group. Which teams are going to rise up and kind of stand out there at the end of the year? You know, you've got A&M, you've got Florida. I'm really talking about the West, though. It's A&M, Ole Miss, LSU, and Mississippi State. And I'll be in a minority here and say maybe even Auburn. I know they're going to be picked really high, but I think any of those teams can beat each other on any Saturday, and they probably will. That'll probably be how it turns out. They all beat each other up.
Billy, you bring up a really unique point. Not who's the best in the SEC divisional side of it or the SEC as a whole, but, you know, who's going to lay the egg? I mean, who's going to lay the egg? I mean, last year, how many of us would have predicted Florida, coming off the successful season that they had in 2012, they would go 4-8?
Yeah. I mean, and I think all of those teams I mentioned, I think any of those four, you know, A&M included, but certainly LSU, what they've lost following the 2012 season and to follow that up with what they lost following last year. And obviously the two Mississippi schools, expectations are high, but I still, you know, other than Ole Miss and their win against LSU last year, and again, I think that was a step back LSU team, they've got to actually prove it on the field and before you go, okay, they're more than a solid football team. That's what they've been. So, yeah, you could certainly see out of that group there being a Florida in there or, you know, Auburn or Arkansas. And not because they're going to stink, but because that competition is going to be so stiff and so evenly matched that maybe it's an injury or two. Maybe it's 2 weeks of agonizing losses and a team, you know, kind of goes into the tank. So any of those teams I could see competing with Auburn for, you know, or competing to finish third in the West and maybe have a 9 or 10-win season. And any of them you could see, you know, struggling for bowl eligibility. I think it's going to be that, the margin for error is going to be that thin this year.
Well, and I know everybody's skipping over because of Nick Saban here in Tuscaloosa. But Alabama, listen, 11-2 was a horrible year. I mean, these folks are in a complete meltdown because you lost to Oklahoma and you lost to Auburn.
Right.
And I know that sounds strange, but Alabama could lay an egg. I mean, Lane Kiffin could not be a great coordinator. Jacob Coker could not be a great quarterback, and I know we're sort of putting him on a pedestal before he ever really took a pass, you know, a snap. That really meant something in college football. Alabama could easily be that team that lays an egg. Maybe they're due.
I think about Alabama too. For as much respect as I have for that program and the way Saban runs things, the defense they play, and I expect them to have one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best. But there have been chinks in the armor in the last couple of years, and I can think of five or six games where that even that great defense has been worked over pretty good. You know, twice by A&M. I think Mettenberger and LSU and Baton Rouge threw for almost 300 in that one. You think of that SEC title game against Georgia, and then of course Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, they've definitely shown defensive weaknesses, and a lot of times it's against these fast-paced, up-tempo spread teams. And I can't wait to hear Nick Saban, because you know when he and Bielema come out there, that is going to be the topic of the day. Is what about rules changes and slowing down the spread offense? You don't want to slow them down unless they're hurting you and unless they're, you know, causing you some sleepless nights, and that is the case with that Alabama defense.
Billy Lucci right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa, and you look at the website, certainly texags.com, covering the Texas A&M. Folks there, the Aggies, the 12th man, all available there, texags.com right now. Billy Lucci, national known college football analyst right now inside the game. Let's go to Texas A&M for a couple of minutes. Is the bigger question, in your opinion, who replaces Johnny Manziel? Or, because I know he's the stinger. You mentioned Johnny Manziel, and you automatically get hits. But look at that defensive side of the football. They've got 9 returning starters. They've only got to replace 2 or 3 guys. Is it Johnny Manziel or how that defense performs in 2014?
I think it's the defense. And 9, I'm not off the top of my head. I think 9 has turned to 7 because they had the 2 guys kicked off the team. But they return a lot, and they've got a couple of tremendous-looking freshmen, and they played so many true freshmen last year that should make a huge jump between that and their sophomore year, but they've got to prove it on the field, like we were saying earlier. And I think they should take a pretty noticeable jump this year and then only lose a starter or two off that unit and adding in another great recruiting class that's right now ranked like number 2 or 3 behind Alabama. And then I think your issues are solved on that side of the ball. And then A&M gets really scary in terms of being in a team that could compete, you know, with the, you know, elite in the SEC year in, year out, week in, week out, and contend for titles. But until then, when you're talking about this year, I would have to say the defense, because here's the thing. Talk about that Alabama offense. The Alabama defense, I think A&M offense is what Alabama's defense is. They're loaded with first-round talent, high-end, 5-star players. They reload, they don't rebuild, and they are a nightmare to prepare for, and they can completely dictate a college football game on any given Saturday. And that's what they do, and to me, it might be a sluggish start to the year. That South Carolina game looked pretty daunting for a first-time starter at quarterback and with that young defense, but I think, you know, once the season gets going, I think Texas A&M, that system works. Coach Sumlin and Spavadal, everywhere they've been, they've proven that. The system works. They'll move the ball and score points. They just might do it a little bit differently than they did. Maybe not quite as flashy, and maybe it's more quick game stuff and moving the chains and scoring points. They're going to move the ball and score points. So I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, can that defense stop anyone? And if they can, then A&M could be a surprise team in the conference.
Billy, don't miss that plane, man. If they start calling you to the gate, I know you're leaving this area.
No, I'm
you
delayed.
Cover Texas
I'm
A&M.
Delayed.
So,
okay, I don't okay. actually know if the A&M contingent's on the flight, too. So I'm sitting here talking to you guys looking at Cedric Ablay, Drew Kayser, and DeShazer Everett.
Okay. All right. So I don't want to sort of take away from that conversation, but I want to go back and This may sound, it may sound ego from a coming from a Tuscaloosa radio station. So don't, please don't take it this way. Because
Okay.
But I want to go back to 2012. Okay. I go back to Texas A&M for a couple of minutes. When Texas A&M beat Alabama, which was the national title in 2012, what did that mean for that program?
Oh, that's not an ego. You're trying to downplay it. That's not an ego statement at all. That Alabama program is, there's no one you could beat in their house in the sport at any point in the last 5 years that anyone could beat, that it would be that significant. But for Texas A&M to go in there and win the game and win it in the style they did, you know, Alabama got punched in the mouth early. They rebounded. That place was, any A&M player, coach, fan, myself standing down there, never been in a louder stadium ever. I've been to Death Valley many times. I've been at, Kyle Field, amazing. I've never been in that stadium was that night when darkness fell over there in a louder place. And for A&M to hold them off and take Alabama's best shot there late and win that football game, I think they're still reaping the recruiting benefits from that. And everything that came out of that, that earned them, it brought a Heisman Trophy to Aggieland. It gave them a crack at Oklahoma in that Cotton Bowl where they beat the brakes off of Bob Stoops and OU, who was a Big 12 team, and that kind of cemented everything. Like, okay, guys, let's end the conversation. We made the right decision going to the SEC. But I really believe they, because of the fallout from that football game and how many people watched it and kind of the legend that was really created that day. I mean, Johnny had played great up until that point, and there was the Scooby-Doo and all that, but it was nothing like what happened that weekend, and they are still reaping the benefits. And if A&M ends up being a true power in the SEC, which they've got the stadium, they've got the facilities, I think they've got the head coach, and they've got the recruiting base, and what they're doing right now on the recruiting front would indicate that. But if they finish it out, and you got to finish it out, they've got to have a respectable year this year, and then build on that. And I think they can be title contenders, both SEC and national, moving forward. But if they do, if that happens, we know how hard that is. Georgia's been trying to get back into that title game for how long? It's hard to get over the hump, especially in the West. But if that ever happens, you can go ahead and circle that night in that afternoon and evening in Tuscaloosa as just kind of the thing that set the whole deal in motion.
Certainly the motto of Texas A&M, it works, and I think you could eventually, the vision, maybe not in 2014, maybe not in 2015, but you can see this model working, a natural hotbed of talent there in the state of Texas. You guys cover it, wall-to-wall recruiting coverage, and texags.com is the website. Billy Lucci right now here inside the game. I go back. Now, how come you build Kyle Field, now going to be one of the top facilities in college football? Who hung the Alabama flag there at Kyle Field? I mean, have you found out this guy's name?
I don't know, but apparently I haven't read the article, but I've read the headline. Apparently, the guy got fired from the construction site, or I don't know. But some people may have thought that was a little harsh. But by the same token, if you're the guy that hung it, what the heck do you expect? I mean, he probably took a calculated risk and just said, oh, well, at least he'll get me out of this 105-degree Texas heat every day or something. I don't know what went into it, but he obviously had to have known there were going to be some consequences. I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
All right, Billy, final question. Steve Spurrier said, and he said it twice, so I obviously think he means it. If Kevin Sumlin would have walked to the podium today and would have told your fans that support your website and the fans of Texas A&M, it's not all about winning an SEC championship. There's more to life than winning SEC championships. If Kevin Sumlin would have said that message to the Aggie Nation, what would have been the reaction?
I don't think they would have liked that too much. And I think they're starting to adjust, though, and realize I think the truth to that statement. I love everything Spurrier says. I didn't really like that statement. If I'd have been a fan of South Carolina, I know the A&M fans would not have been happy, and I could never imagine someone saying that. You know, and Spurrier's obviously done more than just about anybody in this profession. But when I heard that, I think what I see, and maybe what he was meaning, was you can have a really good season in this league and have a lot to be proud of, and it could be an exciting hell of a ride in a memorable season, and come up with no trophy other than maybe a bowl trophy. And I'll even point to A&M season last year that it was 9-4 with a bowl win, and it was Duke. It wasn't a national power, but they were a ranked Duke team. It was an unforgettable game. They played an unforgettable game against Alabama. Auburn played for the title. They took them down to the, you know, 10 or 12 yard line there in the final seconds for the win. I mean, it was a fun, memorable season. Ended with 3 first-round picks. Had you done that in the Big 12 and lost 4 games, it's awful. You do it in the SEC, you can look back and say, man, there were some moments in there. That was a fun ride. I think maybe that's what he meant by that, is, look, it's not the end of the world if you're not winning it, but, man, to me, when you're out recruiting and you've got the fans ponying up for those stadiums and those facilities, and you're making, as some of these coaches are, $4 or $5 million a year, it doesn't matter what league you're in, no matter how tough you want to, that should be the ultimate goal every year, and I'm sure it is for Spurrier. I think the phrasing just wasn't, you know, something that the fans would be too thrilled about.